Stories. Got too many distractions here. No. Good afternoon. No, it's good morning. This is Pastor Craig, and this is What's Happening, Marion. Thank you for joining me this morning. And in a second here, we'll just get right to What's Happening, Marion. I wanted to start off with something that's not necessarily happening this week, but it is... It's big in the news, and that is on Monday, April 8th, there is going to be a solar eclipse. And this story just doesn't want to die. As a matter of fact, this story is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I saw some information, and so I thought I will pass it on to you. There's going to be a solar eclipse, in case you haven't heard. And there is a 124-mile-wide band in Ohio, which the eclipse will cover. And you don't want to miss this, because the last solar eclipse was in 1806, and the next solar eclipse isn't going to be until 2099. So, folks, hey... This is your one and only chance to see the solar eclipse, unless you're kind of...
I'll still be here in 2099.
Well, yeah, but you'll be so old you won't be able to... So, now, this is the part that gets me. The officials are expecting... Oh, no, anticipating our area will receive tens of thousands of people visiting. Now, I'm sorry, I just have trouble believing that there are tens of thousands of people going to come to Marion to view something that, if you're traveling very far, you got to leave really early, and you're going to be here, and this thing is going to come and go in a matter of minutes, and then you've got to travel. And the other part of it is, why would you come to Marion? If you live 40 miles to the north, well, then you just go. I mean, this eclipse is occurring from Texas to Maine. So on that day, you have this eclipse occurring from Texas to Maine. So I just can't believe that there are going to be tens of thousands of people descending on our area. But that's what the experts tell us. So anyway, now there are some people locally that are jumping on the bandwagon, and I'm not saying this as a criticism or anything else. I'm just informing you of the news and informing you of the happening so that you can prepare in advance what you want to do. But if you're familiar with the Lawrence Orchards on Smeltzer Road, they're opening up their apple orchards at 11 a.m. on that morning, so you can park there, and they will have a food truck there. They will have the following yard games there: Connect Four, Cornhole, Yard Jenga, and Volleyball. So you can turn this into a mega event. It's not just seeing the eclipse, which, by the way, in the eclipse, there's darkness, so it's like saying you can go and see darkness, but That's another story. While you're there, their Pavilion TV, they're going to have YouTube clips of, again, more darkness. I mean, eclipses. And you'll be have T-shirts. They'll have T-shirts for sale. And they will have 200 pairs of NASA-approved viewing glasses. So that's kind of like what's going on and how you can take part in it. So plan now for the eclipse in April. All right. Now we'll get to some, I almost said real events. Now we'll get to the more recent events in what's happening, Marion. Okay. From January 9th until February 29th, so in other words, the months of January and February, they're having the Winter Walkabout in downtown Marion. And the Winter Walkabout works like this. Pick up a Winter Walkabout playing card and head out to discover Marion's locally owned businesses and the unique charm of boutiques, retail spaces, restaurants, drinkeries, and more. Punch cards are available at participating locations. Shop, drink, dine, or play at any 8 of the 26 participating shops to get punches. Then you turn in your completed card and receive a free Winter Walkabout T-shirt. It's that easy. Come discover downtown Marion and experience the Winter Walkabout every day, January through February. Now, I don't have a list. They didn't give me a list of where these 26 places are that you can pick up your punch card, but the people that organized it is the store Spruce and Sparrow. So there's at least one place where you can go and get your punch card if you would like to participate in the Winter Walkabout in downtown Marion. So I'd be more inclined to do that than view the eclipse, but that's just me personally. All right, today, tomorrow, and Sunday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they're showing the movie Wonka at the Palace Theater. See the latest Wonka filmed. And here's the theme. Armed with nothing but a hatful of dreams, young chocolatier Willy Wonka manages to change the world one bite at a time. So, if you're a Willy Wonka fan, you get into that kind of stuff, it's being shown at the Palace Theater. Tonight, showtime 7:30. Tomorrow, showtimes 2 and 7:30. And then on Sunday, again, it's shown at 2 and 7:30. Again, the 2 o'clock matinee on Sunday has open captioning. And as I've said before, I don't know what has changed in captioning, that it used to be closed captioning and now it's open. But if you need captioning, they have it at the 2 o'clock showing. All right, Monday, January the 15th, a Peace and Freedom Breakfast is being held at the Palace Theater May Pavilion from 9 until 11, and the cost is $20. Now, granted, this Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so that's what this is related to. Peace and Freedom Committee's annual Martin Luther King Breakfast and Youth Speech / Art Awards. The $20 ticket for breakfast includes attending the awards program following breakfast. The guest speaker this year is Marion native Davell Winters. He is the head of player care for the Washington Spirit of the NWSL. Now, there will be no door sales of tickets. Tickets are available through pre-sale only, and you can purchase tickets from the Peace and Freedom Committee. The number is 740-262-0355. Again, That is 740-262-0355. Monday at the Palace Theater. There's a lot going on at the Palace Theater. At the Palace Theater, and by the way, the library, Marion Public Library, will be closed on Monday for Martin Luther King Day. So Monday at the Palace Theater, and this is every Monday through February. It's 7:30 is Line Dancing with Kirk. So step up your line dancing with Kirk. Classes are for beginners and seasoned dancers. You will learn a variety of line dancing steps and routines. Come and join the fun, and the cost is $10 per session. Tuesday is story time at the Harding Presidential Museum at 10 a.m. with Miss Kathy. And that, again, is every Tuesday through May. January 16th and 18th, that would be Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday and Thursday, Marion County Auditor is selling dog licenses or dog tags. So Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m., they will be set up at Cooney's Restaurant in LaRue. And Thursday, the 18th, they will be set up from 4 to 6 at the Berwick in Greencamp. And by the way, if you go to the Berwick to get your dog licenses, go ahead and plan on having dinner there. Their pizza is really good. I'm just saying. Tuesday, January 16th, Teen Dungeons and Dragons at the Marion Public Library, 315. And you can take part, if you're a teenager, you can take part in the whole Dungeons and Dragons experience. And it is for all skill levels, meaning that even if you've never played before but you're interested and want to get involved, they'll get you set up. And if you've been playing for your whole life, you can still come and participate. Tuesday, again, at the Marion Public Library, is the nonfiction book discussion at 6 p.m. Come share your insights and views on a variety of books. The emphasis is on the pleasure of reading. And this is always being held on the third Tuesday of the month. So it'll be again in February and March and April. Wednesday, January 17th, The Art of Picture Books with the Mazza Museum is being held at the Marion Public Library, 6 p.m. The University of Findlay's Mazza Museum will give a presentation on the art of picture books. Home to more than 18,000 pieces of artwork, the Mazza Museum celebrates the original art of picture book using education, events, exhibits, and artist visits. Learn about their collection and how their pieces were selected. Thursday, story time at the Marion Public Library. There are two sessions of story time. One is at 10 o'clock. The other is at 11. Lasts for about 30 minutes. So you can go to the 10 o'clock or you can go to the 11 o'clock. Story time is for preschool age and younger. And there will be singing, rhyming, stories, and related activities. Also on Thursday is Teen Scene at the Marion Public Library from 3:15 to 5 o'clock. Need something to do after school? Join us for homework help, crafts, and more. Each session, they will have a themed activity with a related craft, and there will also be discussion time. Thursday is Third Thursday in downtown Marion. Now, in years past, they had taken time off for the winter, but this year They are sticking to a year-round schedule. So third Thursday, this Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m., there's going to be various, there's going to be music and various downtown activities. And if it's especially bad weather with bad weather or cold temperatures, which we're looking at cold temperatures next week, a lot of the activities will be moved indoors, but they're still having third Thursday. And so that, my friends, is what's happening in Marion the upcoming week. So again, I encourage you to take interest in and participate in some of these activities that we have going on in Marion. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm actually really impressed with the city of Marion and all that really is going on. There's a lot of organizations that work hard at having things available. And so I encourage you to take part in it. And don't forget about the eclipse coming up in April. We're not going to want to miss it. I'm telling you. So that wraps up what's happening, Marion. So now what am I going to do for the next 30 minutes? Well, I hope you all avoided that last. I hope you all enjoyed that last hour where Matt and I were talking about the this day in history. And so he only got up to 1958. So I'm going to give Matt an opportunity to finish out the 1958 to 2023 segment of what's happening, Marion. No, of this day in history. And it's interesting because we were kind of talking here, and it can be very, very boring just reading down a long list of events that happened on a given day. So in our efforts to make it more enjoyable for you, the listening audience, we're trying to just add a little bit to it so that it's more than just a recitation of what happened on a day. So hopefully you enjoy it, gives you a break of all the stuff going on in your day. So Matt, take it away.
All right, so on this day in history... On this day in history, I had an alarm set off. Sorry about that.
Background music.
In 1958, Syracuse National Dolph Skies sets the NBA record at 11,770 points.
Now, who remembers that name? Seriously.
I think it's Abdul. Abdul-Jabbar or something like that. I don't watch basketball,
Kareem,
but
Kareem Abdul.
Yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He was Lou Alcindor was his name before he became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was Lou Alcindor.
I mean, I did not know that.
So what's that name you had?
His name is Dolph, like Schayes. Schayes.
So he became Charles Barkley. No, I just never, you know, it's interesting because, you know, some of those big names from the past, like, you know, Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry Lucas and some of those big names from the past are household names, but I can't believe that, like, that's a name I never even heard.
It's even more crazy because the next thing on the list is actually in 1960, Syracuse National Dolph Skies is the first NBA player to score 15,000 points.
Wow. I'm impressed.
I mean, nobody...
Nobody remembers him. Okay. All right.
We'll
give you the Dolph Award for most career points.
You know, I think they should probably come up with the Dolph Award now.
Yeah. Why not?
In 1961, on this day in history...
Dolph? Oh, no, I'm sorry.
UN Genocide Pact goes into effect, which outlawed genocide in and out of war times.
I'm glad they gave us a law to outlaw genocide.
See, I was thinking the same thing. I didn't know we needed a law to not perform, you know, genocide.
Yeah. And maybe they felt it necessary that they say during wartime
or even not during wartime. You know, you got to cover all those.
You got to make sure they understand the rules.
Okay. See, that's worked out real well.
Yeah. In 1962, Operation Chopper begins, which is America's first combat mission in the Vietnam War.
Wow. See, I was 3 years old, so I don't really remember that, but interesting.
You know,
Operation probably, Chopper.
Probably for the best.
Yeah.
In 1962, same year, Operation Ranch Hand begins, which is a U.S. Air Force operation to spray South Vietnamese forests with defoliants such as Agent Orange.
Yeah. I do remember that. I mean, there was, I mean, that was for years and years. Do you know what that is, Matt? I mean, do you know how that works?
I don't necessarily know how it works, but I know that like they spray it and then like leaves and stuff fall out of the tree. So like the snipers and the hidden people, you can see them more easily now. But I also know that a whole bunch of U.S. troops and I assume Vietnamese people ended up with like cancer and things like because of it.
You stop and think about it. How toxic does a chemical have to be that if you can just spray it? You know, that it
leaves die.
Right, basically clears out the foliage from trees. So if it can do that to vegetation, imagine what it can do to a human being. And unfortunately, you know, the plans or the routes that we go to in wartime are so devastating, quote, to the enemy. But do we stop and think about what it's even going to do to ourselves? I mean, really. So, yeah. Not to get too deep in the subject.
No, I mean, like, the Soviet Union, back in the times when people were making nukes, I guess we're still making nukes, but back in the time when people were, like, I guess the Cold War, the Soviet Union developed a nuke that was so powerful that they actually had to dial it back because they were like, look, we got to give our guys a chance to leave if we ever drop this thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, they built a weapon of mass destruction that was almost too massive with the destruction.
Well, that's like, for instance, in the 1950s, we had this new pesticide that it was available before the 50s, but in the 50s is when it became very popular. We had this new pesticide called DDT. And it was murderous on mosquitoes. So we just started spraying cities with DDT. And there's actual...
Is this that stuff that, like, never leaves you? It's like, just kind of gets in there and stays?
Yeah, and but see, here's the thing, is we had this great, you know, weapon against mosquitoes. There's actual film footage of kids sitting on park benches eating their lunch when the truck comes by, you know, fogging, spraying the DDT, and these kids were like, you know, they were fogged with this DDT, and they're sitting there eating their lunch, and the film was actually like a propaganda video, I'm sorry, promotional video, to show the, you know, how wonderful this was, and how great it was going to be, and how safe it was. And then in the 1970s, we had to ban DDT because it was instrumental in almost the extinction of bald eagles. And, you know, there were other bird species that were heavily affected by DDT. And so, you know, there again, did these kids who are soaking in this stuff, did they have cancer later on in life? Was that the cause of their cancer? It just shows you sometimes that we get out in front of ourselves without really determining if something is safe.
You know, everybody likes to say, you know, like don't leap, like no leaping to conclusions. But I feel like we do that all the time. We create this thing and we see it works for something. And we're like, oh.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's.
We can do that. 5 years later, we're going, whoa, pull back.
5 years later, there's some serious adverse health effects there.
Yeah, kids being born with hands sticking out of their forehead. I think it's safe.
In 1964, on this day in history, the 14th NFL Pro Bowl took place in Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. The Western Conference beat the Eastern Conference. That's like three times now. 31-17. The MVPs of this were Johnny Unitas of the Baltimore Court of the Baltimore Courts
Colts.
He was a quarterback, and then you got Gino Marchetti, who is a Baltimore Colts D end.
Interesting.
The Colts were so good this year that both of the MVPs were their players.
Were their team? Yeah, that's right. I remember Johnny Unitas.
I do not.
Yeah, that's.
Was he good?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was very good. But he's an example of somebody that maybe stuck around a year or three when he probably should have gone ahead and retired. He would have been closer to retiring at his prime. Then, I mean, I'm not saying that he didn't stay to the very end where it became embarrassing, but he was past his prime and should have retired probably a little sooner. But he was a great player. There's no denying that.
I mean, I wouldn't know. I mean, he made it to the Pro Bowl. You know, make it to the Pro Bowl, you got to be at least one. You got to be one of the best.
Yeah.
On this day in history in 1965, at 10:58 a.m., PST burn up a nuclear rocket in Nevada.
What?
Well, I don't know.
Try that again.
That's what it says. At 10:58 a.m., PST burn up a nuclear rocket in Nevada.
Yeah, that's Pacific Standard Time.
See, that's what I figured, but like, I still don't understand why it burn up a nuclear rocket in Nevada.
Was that a nuclear rocket that was being test fired that failed and it burned up?
You should have come to rehearsal.
On air training.
Go past that one because that doesn't make sense to me.
On this day in history,
In 1966, Batman, starring Adam West as Batman and Burt Ward as Robin and Cesar Romero as the Joker, debuts on ABC.
Batman. I grew up on that. Seriously, I mean, I don't think there was anybody in my neighborhood that didn't watch that. I mean, that's what we watched. I mean, and it was so corny. If you ever go back and watch the old shows, but I mean, it was intentionally corny. But I mean, it was so, you know, like Batman would swing his fist and they'd have this big pow. You know, they didn't say pow, but they had this big graphic that said pow on the screen, and yeah, it was. Kids loved it.
On this day in history, also in 1966, the 12-day New York City transit strike ends.
Wow.
You know,
it was probably devastating though at the time.
I would think so, because like New York is huge.
Yeah.
Like public transportation is like a necessity in a place as big as New York. And now the public transportation is shut down via a strike.
For 12 days, yeah, it would be devastating.
I mean, walking around in New York is almost faster than driving.
This is true.
Also in 1966, man, there's another one after this. Boston Celtics coach Red Auerbach records his 1,000th NBA career victory. Regular season and playoff.
Well, for somebody who I personally didn't really follow basketball very much, but that's a name, Red Auerbach, the coach. That's a name that I recognize, you know, from my younger days. But I didn't really follow basketball too much, other than the fact that like I knew who Lou Alcindor became, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
So. Why did he change his name?
Why did Cassius Clay change his name to Muhammad Ali?
You know, I don't know. I didn't know they changed their names.
That was kind of a movement, you know, back in the 60s to...
pick a better name. Yeah. You just pick a different
one. That's something you ought to look into. Why did they change their name?
Also, last one in 1966. Oh. LBJ says the U.S. should stay in South Vietnam... until communist aggression ends. LBJ being Lyndon B. Johnson.
Thank you. So we should stay in Southeast Asia until communism is...
South Vietnamese. Until communist aggression ends.
Until communist aggression ends. Wow. How'd that work out for you, Lyndon?
Well, you know.
I know.
1967. Dr. James Bedford becomes the first person to be cryonically preserved with the intent of future resuscitation. Remains preserved at the Alcor Life Extension Foundation.
Well, that is interesting because, you know, there's all the talk about Walt Disney was frozen and to be opened at a later date and thawed out. But I didn't know, so it was a doctor who was the first one.
This business still, I mean, obviously it started in 1967, but it's still around.
Yes.
I hate to name drop. I interviewed the people who froze him.
Really?
I did.
Seriously? Yep. Well, come on over here for a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So grab a mic and let's go.
Well, yeah, you know, it's one of those things. Now, that struck a chord in my brain. Now, what year was that? 67, you say?
67.
Yeah. A few years ago, I don't even know if he's still alive, and it seems to me like his last name was Nelson. The guy who froze Dr. Bedford, but I was interested in cryogenics because everybody always talks about it, and they use that slang term that I want to be frozen, which is really not what it is. And there was a big story when Ted Williams, the baseball player, died, that his head was frozen, and then he wasn't frozen, and there was a whole big thing there. So I wanted to do a story on cryogenics, and it did date back to the 1960s when the first man was frozen. And he still is frozen, air quotes, in Michigan, actually. It's not too far from here. And he's in a big cylinder, which is really what it is. It's not even cold water. It's just a cylinder that will preserve your skin and your organs and things like that. So he, among other people, are floating around in this cylinder in Michigan. I mean, but I think the guy's name was Dr. Bob Nelson. And I interviewed him for 2 hours on how they did this, why they did it, will it really work, why did Dr. Bedford do it, will he ever be unfrozen. So I don't know if that's in the archive or not, because I'm not sure what year I did that. But it could be.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, to my knowledge, Scott's right. You're not necessarily frozen, but they take your body and they put it in like this case, and then it's like insulated, and then they take that case and put it into a big like vat of liquid nitrogen kind of stuff.
Fascinating.
Yeah, he's floating around in Michigan.
And the whole idea behind it is, they at some point in time are supposed to.
Humans will get so advanced that we will be able to bring people back from the dead.
Well, cure the disease that killed you. There's a trick to this whole thing, and boy, you'd have to listen to the interview, but they have to. Certainly back then in 1967, it's probably a little different now, but not much. You had to be frozen again before you died, because once you die, you rigor mortis sets in very quickly and your organs start dying, and that would be a lost cause. Nobody's ever going to be able to resuscitate that. So whatever disease you're dying from, you have to be
still alive.
Yeah. You have to be
so
put away.
Alive.
Yeah. Well, they don't know it. I think he was in it. Again, this is hazy in my mind, but I believe that Dr. Nelson had cancer and he knew he was dying from it. And certainly in the 60s, it was a lot easier to die from that. And he was injected. They knew the end was very imminent. And I think he was already in a coma when it was done. But that before life support was shut off and the lung machine went down and his blood was stopped circulating, they prepared his body. I think they had to drain the blood out. Something like that to stop cryogenics and fill it with something else, and I can't remember what it was, but that preserves the body so there's no damage to the internal organs. And then he was one place for a long time, but then when they built the place in Michigan, where a lot of people wanted to be frozen, now he's in the cylinder up there.
Fascinating.
So he's still floating around.
That
now,
fascinating.
Will they cure it? I don't know.
So that's roughly, that was in 67, right?
67.
So 33, so that's 50-some years, 55, 6, 7 years he's been from. I mean, I would think the amount of freezer burns you would have after.
Oh, he's got to be just, you know, like a fish stick at this point. But, you know, the interesting thing I do remember Bob Nelson telling me during that interview was that now you still can be frozen, but the problem is in this, you don't have to be, it's not like then that you still have to be alive when they do it. You can die, you can be technically dead, but there's a very short window that they have to start packing you with ice, like 15 minutes after you die, or rigor mortis will start. And if they aren't packing you with ice, if they aren't draining your blood to fill it with the solution, it doesn't matter if you wanted to be frozen or not. So it's not practical if you live alone, because if you die alone or don't die in a hospital or die in a car accident, it ain't going to happen.
Well, that's fascinating. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
That's okay. That's always good.
Yeah.
Wait a second. I got to come back in on this one. In 2024, on this date, I told that story in history.
I'll probably sure to add that one to the list.
Please, for next year, make sure that that's on there.
Next year, we say, on this date in history, 2024, Scott Spears told us about his interview
with Dr. Bob Nelson.
With Dr. Bob Nelson. Wow, that's cool.
Right, thanks.
You're
welcome.
And once again, this is the last one for 1967, but in 1967... Louisville, Kentucky. Draft board refuses exemption for boxer Muhammad Ali.
Wow. We're going to take a call here for a second. And go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. Good morning from Idaho.
Hey, good morning. Actually, this isn't Scott. This is Pastor Craig. And I've got on here Matt Morgan. Now, Scott just stepped out for a minute, but he'll be back in a minute, but that's okay. You're still on the air, and it's good to hear from you.
Hey, so I was listening earlier, and I was listening to the thing about cryogenics, and
yes.
Actually had a quick opinion on that, because it's a subject I'm actually sort of fascinated with myself.
Okay.
So, with the whole thing being that the body has to be frozen after the person has already died, obviously, once they figure out how to bring the person back, now you're dealing with taking somebody who has died and bringing them back to life. So wouldn't you almost think that that would technically be like abuse of a corpse, or do you think that they would be able to get around it by saying it's for medical research? If they succeed.
Yeah, I would think that their biggest defense of abuse of a corpse would be that this person agreed to this process beforehand, and they knew what the process would be afterwards, and so by them consenting to it, that probably takes out any talk about abuse of a corpse. That was just my thoughts on that.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking too, around that same thing. Like, there would have to be a ton of paperwork beforehand about what all it entails that they consented to it, otherwise it would have to be abuse of a corpse.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a ton of paperwork beforehand.
Okay.
So
all I got this morning.
What's the weather like out there in Idaho?
So where I'm at in Lewiston, last night we got our first real snow of the season. Got about 7 inches overnight.
7 inches of snow? Wow.
Yeah.
So no school today?
Nope, definitely not. I mean, at the moment, I can't even get out of my house. My driveway is a 45-degree downward slope into the garage, and even with four-wheel drive, I can't get up it, and I don't own a snowblower.
Wow. So is it still coming down, or has it stopped?
It stopped, but we're supposed to get more later tonight, supposedly. Oh.
So this weekend, you could be just buried in it.
Yeah.
Well, my goodness. That's.
Well, we have a road coming up out of town, which is pretty much the only route out of town. It's about a 11% grade, and they're requiring people to stop at the bottom and put on snow chains on their tires if they don't already have them,
right,
in order to go up.
Right. Wow. So
last night we had a 7-car pile up on the road that I usually take to work.
Wow. So is your city officials or county officials where you live, is that like one of the last roads that they clear, or is it a first road that they clear?
It's one of the last roads
Clear,
and we don't have a lot of snow plows out here. They're all shared by the couple cities around us.
Wow. Well, good luck.
No.
I hope that you aren't stranded for too long this weekend.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too long. I'm going to try to go out and shovel later. Now, get a load of this. So, one thing that is different from Ohio to Idaho, instead of salt, they put gravel on the roads out here for winter traction.
Interesting. Well, and probably in the long run, that's more effective than salt, and the damage to the road and the vegetation isn't nearly as bad.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And plus, that won't rust out your vehicles.
Oh, no, and it's crazy out here, the amount of 30, 40, 50-year-old cars you see people driving daily that look like they just came off the showroom floor.
Yep.
When I first moved out here, I was working at a Chevy dealership, and we had a 1995 Silverado with over 400,000 miles on it that was owned by a rural mail carrier. He came in every couple weeks for an oil change because he drove this thing a ton. And it was a 1995 with over a quarter million miles, and there was barely a speck of rust on the frame, and it was all original.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, that's something that we're not even used to here.
Yeah, like in Ohio, you'll see a 10-year-old car with holes in the frame, and that's deemed normal.
Yep, sure does. Well, listen, thanks again for calling in, and stay warm this weekend.
I'll do my best to. And hey, it was a pleasure talking to you this morning.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Yep.
So we hear from our friends in Lewiston, Idaho. That was good that they called in. And I'll take it as a compliment that he called me Scott.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh.
But he had called in some thoughts on the cryogenics.
So, oh, I'm sorry I missed that.
Yeah. Well, he basically asked, you know, because of the process that you have to go through to bring the person back, thawing them out, and, you know, kind of whatever, would that be considered abuse of a corpse? And, you know, I could see that line of thinking, and that's why I said, well, I'm sure there was plenty of paperwork and that the person understood what they're getting themselves into. But
I don't think he technically did.
Well, you had said that you could... Currently, you can die now if they get to you, you know, quick enough. So that was kind of his point, that if you actually died and they got to you right away, then when they bring you back, because technically you are a corpse.
See, that's interesting. I'm not sure if you're a corpse. I think you have to be dead a certain amount of time. You have to be pronounced dead, and I don't think that can happen.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah, because we've seen some people around the studio here that would qualify as a corpse.
Oh.
But... They just haven't been...
I know they didn't have a pulse.
They haven't been officially pronounced yet.
Yeah, it'll come. Give it a couple hours.
All right, back to you, Matt. What else happened on this day in history?
In 1969, Atlantic Records releases Eponymous, the debut album of Led Zeppelin.
Really? What was it called?
I think it's called Eponymous. We'll see.
I've never heard that before.
Me either, but apparently it had do good. Led Zeppelin ended up being like one of the best of the best, so.
Okay.
Also 1969.
Yeah, I want Eponymous for Christmas.
In 1969 as well. Super Bowl number 3.
See, now it was January 11th and they were playing the Super Bowl.
12th.
Oh, what's one day?
I know. I hate when people get technical like that.
Gee, man.
Corpse, not a corpse. 11th to 12th.
11th to 12th? My gosh. Man, you guys are stickers for detail.
Technical.
Yes?
Super Bowl III. Orange Bowl, Miami, Florida. The New York Jets beat the Baltimore Colts 16-7, and the MVP was Joe Namath, quarterback of the New York Jets. And for those of you who do not know, people think that this game might have possibly been rigged because prior to the game, the press conference, there was a press conference with Joe Namath while he was getting ready. And they said, do you think that you're going to win the Super Bowl? And he said, without a doubt, I'm winning the Super Bowl. And then he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they were like, rigged.
Yeah.
Well, one or two people got away.
Yeah, so I mean,
I know. That's see how people jump.
But I mean, no, there was more to it than that because I don't remember if the Jets are AFC or NFC, but
AFC.
They are AFC. So the NFC then usually does do better than the AFC. Well, at this time period, it had been doing better than the AFC. So when there was a Super Bowl, and then the AFC won. They thought it was rigged because AFC just doesn't win. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So when the AFC won, they were like, that's rigged because it was also, you know, the best NFC team. But so they think that maybe the NFL did that because it would make it look like there was more competition in the game than what there was.
It's the same thing in baseball, Major League Baseball.
Well, that never happened in baseball.
The
there was never any rigging in baseball.
The National League never. National League is always better than the American League.
And you know, most people say the opposite. Isn't that interesting?
I know.
Why is that?
I don't know. I really don't know. But yeah, I don't think either one is better than either one.
And for as good as Joe Namath became, I don't know how you could go back now and say that was rigged.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I mean, I think it was more of like a time period thing, you right. know.
And even in baseball, you have time periods where the National League always wins, and you know, or wins most, and then you have time periods when the American League. So it's just, yeah. All right, Matt, we've got like 1 minute to wrap up.
All right, well, okay. 1971, on this day in history, 21st NBA All-Star Game, San Diego Sports Arena, West beats East, 108-107. Now that was a good
basketball game.
The MVPs were Lenny Wilkins of the Seattle SuperSonics. He was a point guard, and he is the oldest MVP in All-Star history at the age of 33 years old.
Wow.
He scored 21 points.
And they won by one. So how much did they pay, and who did they pay to throw the game? And that's all we have, folks, today for What's Happening, Marion. And so for Matt and Scott and myself, this is Pastor Craig. It's going to take a short break here, and then we'll be back with the Exchange Club. Don't go away.
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that.